Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Zach, I'll start off by asking you that question. What do you think the identity is of this Badger team right now?
Right now? Good question. Paul Chryst has talked about that. People ask him, you know, when do you find out your identity? When do you find out your team? And it's something that evolves throughout the entire season. However, right now, I mean, I think their identity is defensively same as it's been the past few years. Get after the quarterback and, you know, force teams to beat you through the air. They've been able to stop the run extremely well again this year, and that's kind of what this defense is. And we saw them get after the quarterback a lot last week, and I think we'll see that again this week against Nebraska. Offensively, they've been balanced really until this past week. They weren't as good in the passing game as they had been the first three games, but they're as balanced now as an offense as they've been since Paul Chryst was here first, you know, as an offensive coordinator, really since 2011. This is as balanced as they've been, you know, averaging right around 270 yards rushing. It was right around 230, you know, in the passing game before this past week. So balanced on offense and terrorizing on defense, I think, would be the two words I would use for this team so far.
The one thing that I found interesting, well, two actually. One is watching them take on Northwestern. Don't get me wrong, Northwestern's not a pushover, but I've never seen a Badger team that was stalemated in the trenches more. And I know that they still ended up winning the ball game. They still blew open some holes, don't get me wrong, but they're usually a team that dominates in the trenches, and they haven't done that consistently this season.
You know what? It really hasn't been that way the past 2 years either. I mean, they've been hurting offensive line wise really since Paul showed back up. But I they are better this year. Especially the numbers wise, they're better this year than they were in past years. And Jonathan Taylor certainly has an impact on that. But I thought they got away from the run game way too early in that Northwestern game. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had 50 yards in the first quarter, only got three carries in the second. That's not something that could happen in if you're Wisconsin. Now, Northwestern was selling out. Northwestern was playing up and making sure that you weren't going to beat them running the ball. And in some cases, Wisconsin still will be able to run the ball. But, you know, you have to beat them over the top, and that's what they did. That's how they ended up getting back on top of that game and really taking control of that game, was being able to throw the ball down the field. And that takes Alex Hornibrook being on point. And different points this year he hasn't been. But he was there to start the second half, and that's really when the offense is at its best, is when they have the ability to go both ways, both passing and rushing. But you're right, they were not as dominant in the trenches as they have been in maybe earlier in the year, but they certainly are better than they have been the past 2 years.
So I want to go to Hornibrook, because I watched him in that BYU game. He was spectacular. In this game, a lot of the criticism that was, you know, kind of heaped on him, going back to the beginning of the season when we had talked to a few different people nationally that said, look, he's got a decent arm. It's not a strong arm. And he was actually, by Pete Futek, called a noodle arm. He had a lot of underthrown balls in that game against Northwestern. You're not going to get away with that once you get into the meat of your schedule here. So, I mean, where is Hornibrook right now?
Yeah, I thought he took a huge step. I'll say this first. I'm a Hornibrook fan. Like, I think he's their best option. I think he'd be a very good quarterback. However, he gets in his mind a little bit. He's confident, but I think he stops playing freely when he makes a mistake or two. Meaning, he's not always trusting what he's seeing after he makes those mistakes. And I thought that was certainly the case against Florida Atlantic after he threw his interception early in that game or in the second quarter of that game. Then on Saturday again, stops taking what he's seen and believing what he's seen. And Paul Chryst mentioned that after the game. In terms of his arm strength, we saw against BYU a couple of the balls that he threw. He's got enough to put the ball where it needs to be. Some of the deep balls, I asked him about that today. I asked him about, you know, when you're throwing those 50-50 balls, because he a lot of those are 50-50 balls. And when it's Quintez Cephas and Danny Davis and Troy Fumagalli, he feels comfortable throwing up and letting those guys get it. And I asked, you know, overthrows. Are you worried about, you know, overthrowing the ball, or are you just trying to give them a chance no matter what? And he said, no one's ever caught an overthrown ball. So I want to give my guys a shot. Now, underthrowing the ball isn't great either, but at least you're giving them a shot when you're underthrowing it a little bit. The interception that was to Penniston, that was trying to go to Penniston, you know, that would have been Troy Fumagalli, and I think Troy Fumagalli more often than not comes down with that. But Alex is going to give his guys a shot, and I think at times you'll see some of those balls are underthrown for that reason. But he does not have an elite arm, but I think it's plenty good enough at the college level.
Talking with Zach Heilprin, reporter for 106.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone, our good affiliate out in Madison. Defensively speaking, this team has been dynamite in the second half of games. I mean, they've given up some scores early on, but the second half of a ballgame has damn near been a shutout. What is it about Leonard's offense that when they come out early, it's kind of sketchy, and then the adjustments that are made at halftime are just so dynamic?
I think it's a matter of him, you know, still learning as an assistant. I mean, this is just his second year, and, you know, making adjustments. He's a smart guy. I mean, he's one of the smarter guys that that I've been around in covering. I mean, Dave Aranda's up there as well. I think Dave Aranda might be the smartest guy I've ever been around in terms of a coach, but defensively. But Jim is there, and I think when he gets a shot, it's maybe not as easy to do it on the fly within a half because he's still so young as a coach. But when they get an opportunity to sit down, look at stuff, see what people are throwing at him, which they get to do at halftime, you know, the pros, you're in and out really quickly. In college, you got that 20 minutes. So you're able to go in there and really talk it over and look it over and figure out what exactly is going on. And then you come back out, and as we've seen, they've been able to really lay the wood. And we saw it against Northwestern, but it's been that way all year for the most part. Until late in the fourth quarter when Northwestern finally got on the board. That was the first points they've given up in the second half this year. So it's been impressive, and I think it has a lot to do with their ability and Leonard's ability to realize what's hurting them and figuring it out at halftime.
Watching this team moving forward, it doesn't really get any easier. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I mean, obviously you've got Nebraska coming up and then Purdue. What kind of a – because Nebraska's a conundrum. I know the Big Ten keeps waiting for Nebraska to break through and really be that dominant team that's going to give the Badgers a challenge because they want them, they want Iowa, they want the Badgers all to be good. So what is the conundrum with Nebraska, in your opinion?
I think they're stuck in the 1990s and thinking that there's some kind of great program. I mean, I don't know about you. I
would agree with that. That's a good statement.
I mean, I don't view Nebraska in the same light. You know, similar to Tennessee, like down in Tennessee, they all think that it's still the 1990s and they're this great program and they're expecting to turn around, and it's just not. Now, Nebraska has so many, the facilities and the money they put into it. They're the Green Bay Packers in Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like that's their pro team. That's their everything down there. And they put so much money into it, but there's only so much you can do. And I just don't feel like they're that marquee program that big time recruits want to go to anymore. And so I don't think they're ever going to be the Nebraska that we once knew, and them coming to the Big Ten certainly didn't help them because a lot of their recruiting, you know, they are not nearly as noteworthy in Texas and in some of those areas that they used to be when they were playing in the Big 12 or even, you know, before that. So I don't think Nebraska is ever going to be Nebraska again. And if, you know, if the Big Ten's hoping for that, they're going to be waiting a very, 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 very long time. Wisconsin owns the West right now. I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon, especially if it's going to be Mike Riley and Kirk Ferentz being the guys that are trying to chase him.
7 o'clock down in Lincoln coming up this weekend. Is this can this be considered a trap game in any way, shape, or form for the Badgers?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is Nebraska, and they haven't played well for the most part. They lose to NIU, but this is, I mean, kind of like Kinnick at night. We saw Penn State going there, and that's a different place at night. Nebraska has I think they've won 20 straight night games, but they are and now they get to play the underdog card. Wisconsin, I believe, is an 11.5-point favorite, a 12-point favorite, and Nebraska has been a double-digit underdog at home since 2008, so they get to play that up as well. And you know, I think the offense, especially Tanner Lee, has found a little success here these past 2 weeks. So Wisconsin, I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch. It's going to be a hornet's nest down there for them, and they need to play like they did at BYU. They can't have the slow start that they've had these, you know, in three of the four games that they've played this year, or they're going to be in trouble because all that place is going to be crazy, and they can't get behind and try and fight their way back. But it is definitely, I think, it's their hardest road game that's left on the schedule, and you know, if they get by this one, you know, we're going to be all looking towards that Michigan game as the one that may decide whether or not they have a shot to make the college football playoff or not.
Zach, great stuff. We'll touch base again down the road. I certainly appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Sounds good, Bill. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. There you go. Zach Heilprin, reporter for 106.7 FM and 1670 AM The Zone. Out in Madison, breaking down the Badgers with us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.